Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Here Wednesday night, we took the first few verses there, beginning at 25. And we're going to try to finish through verse number 32 this morning. God will help us. I believe there's more here for us. And felt the unction of God to continue. So thank him for that. Amen. Psalms chapter 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardst me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of the precepts, of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. Father, open your word to us, and may we be changed by it. We trust in God that it has power, and we speak not of ourselves, but to you. We ask now that you would touch us, change us, and may in every way this exalt you and accomplish your purpose, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The apostle, or the psalmist here, begins this particular portion of Psalms 119 confessing his brokenness before God. And I don't want to preach that again, though I did enjoy it Wednesday night and it helped me immensely. A good reminder that I need to be teachable and I need to simply yield myself for God to make me do whatever he wants me to do. I'm grateful for a God that can do that. And if we'll trust him and yield ourselves, he will. But I want to start this morning at verse number 28. Verse 28 itself is a very close image of what verse 25 was. When he said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, in verse number 28, he comes back and says again, my soul melteth for heaviness. Even though he had asked, in the 25th verse, that God would quicken him, meaning raise him up, deliver him, make him live when he thought he was going to die. We see him here in verse number 28 repeating that same condition. And I might remind us today that the sacrifices of God have not changed. They're of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh, to God, that we could bring our pride into subjection, that we would bring ourselves to the place that we yield unto the hand of God in every part of our life. Surely, if we get near the cross, we'll recognize how far from him we are. What awesomeness it is when we see the glory of God and we recognize his power and we conceive in, from his word that he is great and we are small. Surely we see ourselves melting in our own hearts, melting because we, although he has raised us up, as he said in verse 25, he's delivered us and he's quickened us and given us of his spirit, given us new life. We find here that the psalmist cries out and said, God, though you teach me, though you help me, though in all of these things I seek you and I ask you to make me to go in the way of your precepts, what I ask you now is to strengthen me. How many of us today would be willing to say that we're weak and not strong? How many of us would say that I need you more than I need the things of this world, that the things of this life have brought me low, they have melted my heart, they have caused me to be a sorrowful and weary of spirit. How many of us would confess before God that I am weak and I need you to give me strength? Oh, that God would strengthen us today, that we'd be in a place spiritually that we would recognize how destitute we are, how desperately we need the hand of God to move in us, to strengthen us, to lift us up. What a wondrous truth, as the psalmist prays and said, God, my soul, it melts before you. Oh, how often we quit praying before we are done. How often we stop asking when we should truly be digging deeper and finding the root of the cause to our sorrow and to our hurt and to our disillusionment and disappointment. How often that we stop praying when we ought to go deeper and cry out the more. You see, the psalmist, he had already said these words. He had already said, God, I'm as low as I can be. But here we find him just 3 verses later, saying it again, confessing before God that I need you. I need you. I'm not able to do this myself. I'm not able to stand. I'm not able to be. All of these things, Father, I need you to strengthen me according to your word. I need you to give me the strength to bear underneath this burden, whatever it may be. I need you to fill my heart with a strength that fortifies me against an enemy that is unrelenting, against an enemy that is unmerciful, against an enemy as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We may wander and stagger about as a little sheep in this world. But may I say to you today, we ought to do as the psalmist said and cry out unto God. The scripture said this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. I'm glad today that he can give me strength when I need it. Well, the most desperate place you've ever been is to think you're strong enough to do it yourself. Most of us get into trouble when we start trying to do it ourselves. Most of us get into a pretty bad condition when we on our own begin to try to sort things out. Haven't we done that? Everybody's guilty of it. Everybody's guilty of it. The circumstances as we look at them, they just don't seem like they're going to work out. And it seems maybe that everything's against us and we think maybe we need to do this or maybe we ought to do that, when really what we need to do is to trust God. Really, there's times when I just need more strength. I need him to touch me and to strengthen me. I need him as I confess my soul is melting, God. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this mess. You told me to go this way and I can't see what's going on, and yet the psalmist here was honest enough to say, God, I need you today to strengthen me. Oh, there's so many today that live in their own pride and in their foolish conceit. We think we somehow have something that we can offer unto God. Oh, that we would just come before him and confess, I need strength. I need you to help me. I'm not strong enough to do it on my own. You don't think God knows that? You don't think he don't know where you are? You don't think he don't understand when you're simply lying about your condition? You're putting up an front. You're putting a mask on and saying, here's what I am, God. He doesn't see your mask. He looks at your soul today. He knows how you are. So what are you trying to say? I'm saying we lie most of the time. We lie about our condition. We lie and say I'm all right. We lie and we come to church and don't repent. We lie when we come in and say I went to worship and we never raised a hand. We never opened a mouth. We never moved a tongue. We never did anything for God. And what the psalmist knew was, he said, my soul is broken over this and I need you to help me. Help me walk. Give me strength, he said. For what? He said, to get me out of the way of lying. Oh, he's getting right, ain't he? I don't know about you, but I see myself in this one. In this whole 8 verses, I see myself just exposed, raw, and hurt. David said, God, my soul like water is just melted in me. I can't do it. I need you to strengthen me according to your word. What I need, God, is I need you to remove me from this way of lying. This lying habit of putting on a face. Amen. That everybody thinks, there's a good man. There's a person don't have any trouble. I'm not saying we go about with a long face and drown others with our tears. What I am saying is that when we get before God, we don't put on an air. We don't make a face that ain't true. We don't try to hide behind a masquerade of lies and things that are not true. What we ought to do is say, Lord, help me. I'll tell you right now, the one that'll go home justified is the ones that's honest enough to say, God, I need some strength. Because I'm weak and I can't do this. I can't stand. I can't walk. I can't run. I can't do any of this. I need you to help me.
Amen.
Do you know what we see, Faye? No response.
Yeah.
Now, either you're the world's best Christians, or you're lying.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I've cried my guts out. And I guess I'll continue. I don't know else how to do it. But I'm a mess. And I need God. I'm desperate for Him. I'm trying every day to get closer to Him and feel like I'm falling away. I'm looking around me and saying, God, I don't see it working. And the devil, every step I take, says, it don't matter. You're a failure. You can't help. Why don't you just quit? Huh? That's what he don't tell you that. Well, I'm trying to be honest here. He tells me that. He tells me you don't care. He tells me nobody out there cares. He tells me it don't make any difference, Steve. He tells me just quit. He tells me don't study. He tells me don't pray. He tells me not to do anything for God. And brother, that's a lie. It's a lie when I stand and I listen to Him. It's a lie when I come and say that I'm all right. It's a lie. What I need is God to strengthen me today. I need Him to lift me up and to get me out of the way of lying.
Amen.
We lie about so many things. It becomes a way. It becomes a standard religious practice to come into church on Sunday morning and think somehow or another that God's up there checking a box and say, oh, they made it. So, oh, good. David was honest enough to say, Lord, remove me from this way of lying. Right. He didn't say he had made 8. No, he said, I'm living in a world of lies. If anybody knew about lies, David knew it. Amen. Right. He had done been through that with Bathsheba. He had done experienced the hand of God. He knew what it was like to lie and to murder and to cheat and deceive. He knew what these were like. And he was honest enough this day to say, God, you're going to have to help me. I don't have the strength to get out of this. Let me be clear. You don't have the strength either. You're lying right now if you think I've got all this under control. I know just exactly what God wants, and I know just exactly how to do it. You're fixing to be in the ditch is what I predict. You'll not make it spiritually until you recognize that without Him, we can't take a breath. We can't do anything without God.
Amen.
Lord God, remove me from this way of lying. How do you think God will deal with a lie? Right, somebody just Anybody want to blurt that out? How do you think God deals with a way of lying? David knew. David knew. Right? What did he say in that next? What did he say in that verse? He said, "By graciously giving me truth." What did he call it? He called it the law. Does that know what the law is? It's truth. You see, the only way to truly combat the lie or the way of lying is to allow truth to penetrate our heart. Listen, we can't give our own ears to the attention to God's word in a week enough to make a difference. I'm not pointing any fingers, but if the shoe fits, you ought to put it on for a minute. We are so wrapped up in this world as people. I'm speaking generally here. We are so wrapped up with an earthly perspective that we fail to even recognize that we operate in a way of lying, while all the while God's truth can deliver me. Isn't that what he said? He said, "My soul is melting here, God." He said, "I need you to strengthen me according to thy word." Your word. How many of us this week, don't raise your hands and incriminate yourself, but how many of us this week have sought God's word more than we sought an update about our current culture's condition? Now, how many of you honestly believe that Fox News or CNN or whatever other broadcast you want to listen to is peddling his truth? How many believe that if it ain't his truth, that it can be truth? No. The Bible said, "Let every man be a liar." And who be true? And do we have his truth? Somebody lift it up. Somebody say, "I've got it. I've got it. I don't have to flip on a TV. I don't have to call the pastor. I don't have to do anything but open up the pages of his book and begin to pray, 'God, I need strength. Remove me from this way of lying, from this way that compels me to wake up on Monday and say, well, that was good. Everything's fine. While I come into the house of God and I didn't open the book and sing, I didn't raise my hand and say anything for God, I didn't go to an altar and repent, I didn't even go and pray for others when I had opportunity." Is anybody listening? What I'm going to say is, we living in a way of lying. Right. If I touched you and said, "You won't see your people saved," you'd say yes. You'd say, "Oh yes, I do. Have you got needs that you need God to help?" "Yes, yes, I do. Yes, I do." No, it's not true. No, it's not true. It's a way of lying. Right? You say, "Preacher, I didn't come here to get this." I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Let me take some pastoral and biblical authority right now as a called man of God and say, I don't know what to tell you. Except we need to get right according to the word of God, and we need to quit playing, and we need to recognize that at stake here are things that have an eternal weight in glory. Amen. People are dying and going to hell all around us. We say we care, but we do not. You say, "How do you know we don't?" Because we don't do anything. We don't seek his word. We don't repent before him. We don't cry out unto God. We don't admit our need. We don't say, Lord, strengthen me and remove me from this condition. Listen, I can't look into anybody's heart, but if this is hitting you, it needs to be dealt with. David dealt with it. Right? He was honest enough. It's recorded for the history of mankind to follow the very steps of King David as he stumbled along. But at least he was willing to be honest. Bothered him. That for so long he had said it was fine, when all the while he was going downhill. Now the devil's good at that. All right, I'm going to move on. He said, Lord, graciously grant me your truth. Now, let me be clear. You can get the truth of God every day. You don't need me. You don't need a deacon or a friend. You got the book? So I just can't understand it. You ever asked him? Apostle Paul, he was pretty honest. He said, look, if any man lacks wisdom, all you got to do is ask God. He said, he'll give to you liberally and will not hold back on wisdom. But how many of us have asked God? How many of us been honest enough to say, you know what? I need your truth.
Yeah.
I need wisdom, God, above my next breath. Because this way of lying that strips the church from power as a witness and a soul-winning station in a community of lost and dying people has to be dealt with. Has to be dealt with. You say, you can't deal with it like this. Oh, no. You've never read Jeremiah, have you? You've never read Ezekiel. You've never read Isaiah. You know what God told? You know how God dealt with this? He sent men to preach the gospel. And you know what? They didn't like it. They didn't like it. And they kept on not liking it until finally God balled them all up, stripped them out of their country, set them down as slaves in a captive land, and took everything they had. That'll never happen to us. That'll never happen to America. I beg your pardon. America has nothing that will keep it afloat if it don't have God. We just lying to ourselves that somehow or another that in a constitution or a bill of rights will somehow keep us afloat until Jesus returns. That's not biblical truth. We're just living in a way of lying. He said, God, I know I don't deserve this. But would you graciously, by your grace, Lord, give me your word. Give me your word. And may that word purge me of these lies the enemy tells and purge me of these things that are undone and unholy in my life. Purge me of all of these things that I have become that I don't want to be. Help me. Verse number 30, 31 and 32. I want to give you three things in a row here and we'll close. Number one, he said, I have chosen. Number two, he said, I have stuck. And number three, he said, I will run. Three things. Now, what I've shared with you so far is an absolute dependency on God to step in and do something. And I realize some of you are convicted right now, so you're not too happy with me or God. That's all right. That's all right. That's good for you, as a matter of fact. It's good for all of us. But David had to get to the place personally that he's willing to make a choice. Right? You can sit right there and do nothing, and you know what will happen? Nothing. That's right. Nothing will happen. But David said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. Let me be real honest. I know that I can't do anything without him. I know that it's going to be his strength that delivers me and helps me. But I can do a few things. And that's what David's trying to say. Let us take from this as we close some personal responsibility. Number one, he said, I have chosen to walk in this way. He asked God, he said, remove me from this way of lying. And he said, by your word, he said, graciously give me truth that I might escape this web of deceit. And in verse 30, he said, I have chosen the way of truth. I have chosen that. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Here they are. Right, here they are. These are his judgments. These are his testimonies. These are his statutes and these are his precepts. Everything I just read in those 8 verses, this is it. Right here. And what he said was, first responsibility that I have as a believer in Jesus Christ is to choose the way of his truth. Make a choice. I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Right? Number one, he said, help me get out of this deceitful circle trap that I'm in. Because my own flesh wants me to stay here, keep lying to myself and keep lying to everybody else. Help me to get out of this, Lord. He said, But I understand that I have a responsibility. Number one, I've got to choose truth. I've got to make a choice when it comes down to right or wrong. I've got to choose right. And what David's saying is, he said, I am choosing. Today, I'm choosing this. Over the world, I'm choosing this. Over our culture, I'm choosing this. Over everything that exists, I, Lord, am choosing your word. Number two, he said, I have stuck. You ever admired people that just stick to it? I do. I do. That's probably one of the greatest characteristics of a person that I've found is somebody that'll stick to it. They won't quit. Matter of fact, whether I like you or you don't like me, you're still here. You just won't quit. You won't give up. You know what David was saying? I'm sticking to it. I've chosen it. And I'm going to stay with it. That's a choice, you see. It's a choice you make every Sunday morning. It's a choice you make every Sunday night. It's a choice you make every Wednesday night. It is a choice you make every time you have an opportunity to come and expose yourself to truth. It's a choice. See, people are here. You good people are here right now because you made a choice. And you're sticking to it. He said, I've stuck to your testimonies. He said, I'm sticking to it. I'm not going to give up. He said, thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. What's he saying? Don't let me down. Because I'm going to follow you, sink or swim. Lord, don't let me down. Now, that's one of them statements some of us would be fearful to make. Right? Because we'd say, oh, God might think I don't have enough faith to believe that he would never let me down. You know, God already knows whether you believe or don't believe it. You see, that's what I love about the psalmist here, was he don't care who knows it, right? He's going to be honest right now. He is tired of the lying. He is tired of the hiding it from God. He is tired of living in a way where he has to look one way while he really feels another. No, he said, Lord, don't let me down. I'm going to close. I am. But I got to say this. I dare say it ain't been a week, 2 weeks, month that every one of us in our mind have thought, he's not going to do it. He's going to let me down. The problem's not that you feel that way. The problem is you lied about feeling that way. God can handle the truth. But now a lie absolutely makes him sick. An abomination. God hates the lie. Because who's the father of the lie? God hates the lie. And yet we think things in our heart and somehow we think God didn't know it. Or that somehow if God knew that, boy, he'd throw me. I'd never see him again. That's not how God is it? God knows what we're already thinking. Well, he said, Lord, he said, I'm going to stick to it. I am going to hold fast to the right. Don't let me down. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good that I can look and that say, you shouldn't have said that. And I think, well, how many times have I said that? Don't let me down. Don't fail me now, Lord. When we know he can't fail. We know he won't fail. Even if he don't answer it according to my wishes or ways, he still hadn't failed. We know that. And yet in our heart, isn't that what we pray? I'm going to give it all for you, God, but don't put me to shame. Don't let me down. Don't fail me. Last one. I've chosen. I have stuck. And then he said, I'm going to run. I'm tired of walking, God. I've walked long enough. They'd people falling off into the pit every day. And I can't do no more than walk. He said, no. He said, I'm going to run now. I'm going to run. Wasn't it the Apostle Paul that when he was near the end of his journey, he said, I've run a good race. He said, I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. David said, I will run the way of what? Thy commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. Come get a song. All right, I can sit on the bench spiritually. Now, let me just bear with me a second. I try to share this one last thing. I can sit on the bench spiritually, and I can look at the pastor or I can look at so and so, and I can say spiritually, I can run just as fast as they can. I ain't moved a muscle spiritually, Right? I ain't raised a hand. I ain't said a prayer. I ain't done anything. But I can spiritually, I can say, oh, I'm just good as he. Right? It'd be like me, right? Wore out and out of shape at 53 years old, sitting around here and looking over at Jeb and say, yeah, I'd keep up with him. If I had to race Jeb, I'd keep up with Jeb. All the while, I never moved a muscle. Knowing in my mind, if I ever took off running, I'd fall over. What am I doing? I'm lying again. I'm lying, saying that I'm just as good. I don't need anything from God. You know what David said? He said, God, he said, I'm making up my mind today. He said, I'm running. He said, but I also understand that in order for me to run spiritually, I got to get in shape. My heart needs some work. Right? I can tell you right now, if I'm going to run a marathon by this time next year, I won't get her done until I start getting a little exercise. Until I allow him to enlarge my heart. Now, physically speaking, he'd have to enlarge my lungs and he'd have to reduce my belly and he'd have to do a whole lot of things for me to get ready to run a marathon. But spiritually speaking, all he's got to do to get me to a running condition is to enlarge my heart. And David was willing to say, God, you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can enlarge my heart. I'm going to run the way of your commandments. Lord, I've chosen. I'm going to stick to it. And I ain't walking. I'm running. I'm giving it all for this now. And he's willing to give it all for this. This. You're worth it. You're worth it. We may be a handful of people in the middle of nowhere, but God loves every single one of us. And I've no excuse not to give everything I've got to see it work. None. Matter of fact, I'm tired of excuses. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of them. Mine. God, remove me from the way of lying about this stuff. Because we get nowhere lying. We're going to have to be honest. We're going to have to get right with God. We're going to have to make some choices. And we're going to have to make some changes. But when we do, we'll find that the Almighty God has not changed. And he still works miracles and can save to the uttermost. God has not changed. We have. Stand as we sing. If you need the Lord today, the altar's open. Let's all come and pray.